Welcome in to our initial Cy-Hawk block here on 95.7 KQWC. Sports Director Quinn Douglas with you here as we preview this weekend's games for both Iowa and Iowa State. First off, we're going to talk about the Cyclones. They come in ranked number 7 in the country. They will be facing their rivals from Cedar Falls in the UNI Panthers. And talking to us about this Saturday's game is 24/7 Sports Insider and site publisher for CycloneAlert.com, Michael Swain. Mike, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on. Finally a game week, so exciting times and Ames.
Yeah, finally game week. Finally going to be a full-packed Jack Trice Stadium in Ames on Saturday. I'm going to be there with coverage of the game. But before we get too far into game week, Iowa State, Michael, of course, they come in with all this fanfare. They're ranked 7th in the AP preseason poll. They have 3 preseason All-Americans in Breece Hall, Charlie Kohler, as well as Mike Rose. Just what's the feel in Ames right now? What's the general vibe in Ames when it comes to looking at this upcoming season? Do you think that the team is looking at this hype a little bit, or do you think Matt Campbell's done a good job of keeping everything in perspective?
Yeah, I think the mantra of Matt Campbell's program at Iowa State has been really kind of developmental driven and really trying to stay in the moment. So I don't think they're the type of program that is getting caught up in, you know, quote unquote, the hype or what the preseason rankings are. You know, I thought Matt Campbell had a good line about it on Tuesday when he was asked about having a statement win, you know, to like say to the rest of the country that Iowa State is serious. And Matt Campbell's like, I'm not here to impress anybody. That's fun for you guys to write about, but I'm not really worried about that stuff. And I think that really resembles kind of his mindset. And I think it bleeds through to the team. And when you have a team that's as experienced as Iowa State is this year, and what they went through last year in terms of getting to the Big 12 title game, losing in that game, but then finishing the season on a high in the Fiesta Bowl, I think you're looking at a leadership group here that knows what the end goal is. And they know that a 24-7 win over Northern Iowa or a 52-10 win over Northern Iowa is worth the same. It's a win column. And so I think this team is really focused on just hitting the ground running. You know, make sure you have a strong start to the season, because you know, you'll put yourself in a position to be competing for a college football playoff spot if you really do start the season strong here.
And when you look at Iowa State's depth chart, they're one of the most, if not the most experienced returning team in all of college football this upcoming season. They have at least 4 players with 30-plus games started under their belt. They have at least 8 players altogether with 20-plus games started under their belt, and a bunch more that are still with more than a full season of starting experience. But there's still some areas on this roster where around this depth chart as well that maybe people don't know a whole lot about, maybe could surprise people. In your mind, what is perhaps could be the most surprising, positive surprising position on the depth chart for Iowa State coming into this season?
Yeah, maybe nose guard. I think that that's a position that if you look at kind of the roster as a whole, and you alluded to it there, how experienced Iowa State is and how much returning talent they have, that, you know, that was a position that had a lot of attrition this offseason. You lose Joshua Bailey, you lose Latrell Bankston, 2 guys that were contributors last year, mm-hmm. and the incumbent Isaiah Lee, who started multiple games a season ago, got beat out in camp by a redshirt freshman, J.R. Singleton. So I think you're looking at that position now where, you know, it's the heart of Iowa State's 3-man front on defense. That position is asked to do a lot of dirty work, and now your starter is going to be a redshirt freshman who, by all accounts, has really impressed, you know, the coaching staff in terms of his maturity and his ability on the field, but it's still someone that only played 3 games last year who's going to be starting there. Now, of course, at that nose guard position, they do rotate, so it's not like he's going to be playing every snap on defense. Isaiah Lee will still play and play significant snaps, but I think you're looking right there at 2 guys, really, for that spot where a season ago you had 3, maybe even 4 with Eni Wazirike being able to slide from his defensive end spot to playing that nose guard position. So I think you're looking at that position now being just a little thinner, where I think one injury would really put that position group under pressure. I think you'd have to move some things around, maybe with Wazirike maybe moving inside more if there's an injury there. So I think we're pinpointing maybe not necessarily a weakness, because I don't think you would consider that an overall weakness, but just one of the areas on the depth chart that maybe isn't as strong as some of the others, like linebacker or corner or safety, I think would be that nose guard position.
As we look ahead to Saturday's game against UNI, last time these two teams got together, we all remember it was a very, very close game. Iowa State, maybe you can make the claim that they were a little vanilla on offense. They didn't show their hand a whole lot against UNI. They were still able to gut out an overtime win against the Panthers team that was looking for something to prove. Of course, the quarterback for that UNI team, Will McIlvain, he's still on the roster, but he's currently embroiled in a quarterback battle with former Michigan State quarterback and UNI transfer Theo Day. Just, Mike, in your opinion, what do you think UNI, when you look at this UNI team, what do you think they bring to the table that could cause Iowa State some problems?
I think maybe just defensively. You're looking at an Iowa State offensive line that has a lot of experience coming back. You know, seven guys started games last year through camp. The coaching staff has kind of maintained that they feel really good about, you know, eight, nine-plus guys that could play snaps for Iowa State this fall. But just talking to Matt Campbell on Tuesday, you know, Tom Manning, the offensive coordinator, yesterday, it sounds like they're really still not necessarily settled on that offensive line group so far. So I think you look at that group, maybe, you know, on the right side of the offensive line, Derek Schweiger, someone that could play right guard or right tackle, and that right side of the offensive line on the depth chart doesn't have a listed starter yet at right guard or right tackle. So I think you're looking overall at that position group being one where, you know, maybe early in the game they aren't necessarily gelling as quickly as maybe you would hope. This is just hypothetical, but, you know, and you look at the UNI defensive line, and that's a group that's probably one of the biggest strengths of their team based on what I've read and what I've heard. So I think you're looking now at maybe that position group, maybe being able to get some push up front, but I don't know. I just have a hard time believing that overall Iowa State will get pushed around in any facet of the game just based on the experience and based on just the skill talent Iowa State has. You know, you mentioned the 2019 game there, right? And Iowa State's offensive line has come a long way since that game, and the skill position players have come a long way. There's a lot of new faces and just a lot more talent-laden roster up and down for Iowa State. So I think it is a different team than the one you saw against UNI, you know, two seasons ago. Even if, you know, you look up and down the roster, it's a lot of the same players, but those guys have had a lot of time to develop and get more adapted to the scheme and everything like that. So I think maybe if you're looking for, like, the one area where UNI could have some success early in the game, maybe it's defensive line. But I think in general, I do think Iowa State will be able to kind of get out with a comfortable win.
Looking at this UNI game and looking ahead to the not to look too far ahead at the Iowa game, but do you have maybe a suspicion that it will be very the play calling against UNI will be very similar to what it was 2 years ago, where Matt Campbell, Todd Manning, they really didn't want to show their hand to Iowa, show perhaps what they had been working on throughout the offseason? Do you expect the same kind of play calling? Do you think Matt Campbell won't be afraid to maybe show his hand a little bit and do some different things against UNI?
Oh, no, I fully expect it to be pretty vanilla on Saturday. I think you've got it, plus it's like, as I mentioned, it's a whole different situation here now where you've got the horses to run vanilla offense and still really roll teams. You know, you could look at the Kansas State game last year. I don't think Iowa State did anything super special against Kansas State, and they were able to roll to a 40-plus-to-nothing win. So I don't think it's one of those things where Iowa State will need to pull out any trick plays or get super intricate with the schematics on offense or defense for that fact. I think this is one of those things where I think for the most part you could probably roll the ball out and let Iowa State just kind of do its thing, run inside zone, outside zone, nothing too complex, and I think they'll be able to get a comfortable win.
Mike, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, and we'll talk to you again before Iowa State takes on Iowa.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
That was Cyclone Alert site publisher Michael Swain here on Cyhawk Blog, previewing Iowa State's game against UNI coming up this Saturday. You can listen to it right here on 95.7 KQWC. And we're right back with David Eichel, the Hawkeye Insider, after this break.